Join me in Genesis chapter 29. We're going to start at verse 34. We're in the middle of a metaphorical wrestling match between two sisters who are married to the same man. Both of them love him. Both of them have had the opportunity to develop a relationship over 7 years that he's been working for their dad. And when it came time for him to marry his sweetheart, dad pulled a switcheroo and married the older sister to Jacob instead. And now Jacob was caught over the proverbial barrel by his father-in-law that if he really wants to marry the love of his life, he has to continue with the marriage to the older sister. And Jacob agrees. And so immediately, babies start being born, but only to the older sister, Leah, the one whom Jacob doesn't like. It says specifically that he hated her, but part of that hatred is he's not committed to her, and he's angry that she participated in the deception of the marriage. But she has conjugal rights, and she has the rights to have children with this man, and God allows that to happen while holding off on any children with Rachel. So the first boy comes along, and he gets named Reuben, which means, see, a son. And that's an emphasis on the idea that Leah gave Jacob his heir. And she thought that that would help his attitude toward her. Apparently, it didn't do too much, because she names the second boy that comes along Shimon, heard. And what is it that she's talking about with that name? Because God heard that she was being afflicted, that she was being given a hard time. And so she's naming her kids, her boys, based on her own desires and her own frustrations. Verse number 34 continues the story. Again, she conceived and bore a son. And this baby is going to come along probably in the fourth year of their marriage. It would appear that every time she has a baby, instead of nursing the baby, which it was understood that that would delay your ability to get pregnant by actively nursing. There's some hormones involved in that. She would instead turn over the child probably to her assistant, her personal assistant, Zilpah, as a wet nurse, and have her being involved in the raising of that child so that she could get immediately pregnant again, because these babies are coming fast and furious. When everything is done, in the first 7 years of marriage, Jacob will end up having, with these two women and their surrogates, he'll end up having 12 children, 11 boys, and one girl, for sure. So they are moving in having these kids. This is a kid explosion. I very often refer to this as the great baby contest. But anyway, back to verse 34. Again, she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him 3 sons. So you can hear it. She wants Jacob to feel connected to her. That's her big desire. She wants him to love her and care about her and feel that she's important and feel connected. And so because of that desire to be connected, she named this next baby boy Louis, or as we tend to say in our modern English, Levi, because that's the word for attachment. She then conceived again, and she bore a son, and said, "This time I'm going to praise the Lord," because she's winning the baby contest. It's now 4-0. And she's probably hoping that she will also win the affection contest, that Jacob will eventually break down and say that he was better off married to Leah than to Rachel. So this time I'm going to praise he who is, and therefore she called his name Judah, because Judah is the word for stretching out your hands in praise. And then something happened. Remember, I already told you, I believe she was handing off every newborn boy to probably Zilpah to act as a wet nurse and raise, in the day-to-day operations, these babies. And she makes it her job to get immediately pregnant. And apparently that stops. It says at the end of the verse, then she ceased bearing. So she stops being able to immediately get pregnant again. And so by now, we are in the year 1929. And we got four boys. Chapter 30. It was at this point then, probably during this fourth pregnancy, okay, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She is upset that her sister has three babies already born and a fourth one on the way. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." So she is upset with him, demanding, "You have got to get me pregnant. Do it." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Can you feel the tension? This is a tough family to be a part of right now. It is not fun. Jacob is caught between two sisters vying for his attention and demanding their conjugal rights because they want to get pregnant. And so he's also trying to work. He's trying to take care of business for Laban. But when he comes home, whichever one's turn it is demands their rights. And so he's had about enough of this, and now he's being accused that this is under his control. He could do something about it. And he says, "I'm not God. God's the one that made it where you can't have babies." And so that's got to be some very painful things to say back and forth. Then verse 3. So she said, "Here is my servant Bilhah. You go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." Now they are in Mesopotamia. And remember, we talked about this when Sarah pulled this card. In Mesopotamia, it was understood that a wife could designate a single woman, possibly a servant, in this case it definitely is, who could be married as a junior wife, as a concubine to her husband, for the purpose of surrogacy only, so that she could get pregnant and have a baby on her behalf. The baby would technically belong to the legal wife. Probably be raised by the concubine wife in a lot of the physical ways, technical mom, the technical wife, would be a part of the life. Remember, I've shared with you that apparently they would even have the surrogate mom at the day of delivery sit on the lap of the technical mom so that when the birth happened, the baby would pass between the knees of the technical mom, the legal mom. So that's what Rachel is saying. She says, I'm desperate. I want you, Jacob, to get Bilhah pregnant. And so she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Now, did he have to? It probably was not a legal requirement for him to do so. But I'm guessing that Rachel wouldn't have let it go. She is insistent. And so Jacob gives into this. And so now he has two full-fledged wives and one concubine. So Bilhah conceived. They timed it so that the sexual interlude between Jacob and Bilhah would have a high probability of success. And it did. And she got pregnant. And then 9 months later, she bore Jacob a son. Now, I'm thinking that the pregnancy with Bilhah probably happened not too long after Leah got pregnant with Judah. So I think that this next baby is born not very long after Judah was born. So Rachel is the one that names the baby because she's the technical mom. Again, this is not our culture. This is not our time period. It feels strange to us, but this is the history, okay? So Rachel is the one that's going to name this new baby boy. And she said, God has judged me in a positive way and has also heard my voice and given me a son. And therefore she called his name Dan. Dan has the idea of judgment, but in a positive sense in this context, as in, God gave a judicial decree in my favor. He gave me a legal son. So she named him Dan. Then she decides to not stop with that because obviously her sister is 4-1. She has 4 babies while she's only got the 1. So she sends Jacob in a second time to Bilhah. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son, probably the following year, 1929 BC. She names this baby as well. Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings, I've wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. So she's thinking that this is all a big contest, a proverbial wrestling match between herself and her sister. And the prize is Jacob and Jacob's love. And so she named this new boy Naphtali, which is the word for wrestling. So all these boys are getting names based on this baby contest between the two sisters. Now, when Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, so probably after Dan had been born, and then Bilhah got pregnant a second time, so that the baby contest now is 4-2. Leah goes, okay, enough of this nonsense. I can't let her catch up. So Leah, when she saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. So she pulls the surrogacy card as well. And Jacob is now married to two legal wives, and he is contractually connected to two junior wives or surrogate wives. And those surrogate wives, by the way, are under the control of the two legal wives. So verse 10, Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, "Ah, good fortune has come." So she named him Gad, which is the Hebrew word for fortunate or lucky. So we now have seven boys. And the score is, let's see, it's 5-3. No, 5-2. Sorry about that. 5-2 is the score. And then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. And Leah named him, said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." And so she named his name Asher, which means happy. So now we've got eight boys, and the score is 6-2. Now, verse 14. In the days of the wheat harvest. Now, the wheat harvest happens in the summertime, the early summertime. So I think this probably is around the third month of the Jewish year. In the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben, who's going to be about 3 years old at this time, so he's a little kid. He's running around on the landscape. He went and he found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Now, mandrakes are pretty little flowers that have little tuber roots. And so it appears as if Reuben was basically getting some pretty flowers for his mommy. Pulls them up by the roots, brings them home, and gives them to his mommy Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." Now, why? Because it was believed back at that time, and is still believed in a few cultures around the world, that mandrakes help with infertility. And so Rachel, who is only two in the contest against her sister's six, figures that this might help her out. So she says, "Can I have some of those mandrakes?" And Leah's response, quite snotty, and I think we can all understand why, said, "Is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you now take away my son's mandrakes also? So you've stolen my man. Now you want to steal my boy's pretty flowers and the mandrake roots?" And so Rachel said, now listen to this. This is where it gets to its absolute crazy point. Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." So Rachel says, "Tonight is my turn to have conjugal rights with Jacob. I tell you what, if you'll let me have those mandrakes, you can have him tonight." Now, I told you earlier, this feels very weird to us because of it's a totally different culture and a totally different time period. But in this time period, you had conjugal rights amongst the full wives. And Jacob didn't have a choice in that. When time came for him to perform, he had to perform. And so imagine this next thing. Verse 16. When Jacob came in the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. He's not even to the tent. And said, you must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he's coming home from a full day's work, tired. And he gets met away from the building, away from the tent, by the wife whose turn is not tonight, and says basically, hey, I know it's Rachel's night tonight, but I bought you with mandrakes. I get you tonight. Come on, guy. Come with me. And so he went and he lay with her that night. Now, every once in a while, you hear people, men, being idiots, talking about how, well, Jacob got to be able to sleep with four women. Come on, people. Look at this story and tell me that Jacob had a happy life. He is in a mess. He is probably hating coming home from work every night because of the fight, the proverbial wrestling match that's going on between these two sisters. And now they've drug their right-hand handmaidens into the picture, and he's stuck. He is stuck between four women. It's not a happy situation. But he goes in, performs his conjugal rites, and verse 17 says that God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. So now her body is apparently recovered enough from having so many babies in quick succession. And she has another son. And so Leah said, now listen to this. This is quite upsetting, I think. I would think this is a horrible way to name your kids. But Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Yishakar, which means hired. So this baby boy gets named because of Jacob being bought for a night. And so this is now, let's see, this is son number 9, and Leah is definitely winning this baby contest because it's 2-7. And the year is probably only 1927 BC. They've only been married a few years. Verse number 19, Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. So that's son number 10. And so I think I might have said the score wrong a while ago. We've got 10 sons, and four of them, I think, belong technically to Rachel. And so she said about this sixth son that she's born, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I've borne him six sons. So she called him Zebulun. Zebulun means honor. Now, you know what this tells us? It tells us that even after all of this back and forth, she still feels that Jacob doesn't love her, doesn't want her, doesn't respect her, doesn't honor her. So she is looking for real relationship, and she still doesn't feel it's there. Now, verse 21 is thrown in as a mention of the only daughter born in this bunch. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Now, Dinah is just the feminine form of Dan or Dan. So it has to do with judgment again. But that's not as big a deal in this whole story because, and I know that this is quite frustrating to us, Dinah doesn't count nearly as much for this baby contest because it's all about bearing boys. That's really what they want to do, is provide Jacob with sons. And then verse 22, the thing that Rachel's been waiting for this whole time. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her, meaning she's been crying out and praying, and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son. So she gets pregnant after about 6 years of marriage, and she has a baby boy, finally, from her own body. And she said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Yosef, saying, may he who is add to me another son. Now, she names this boy in anticipation that she's going to get more. So as far as she's concerned, the baby contest isn't over. This is only a restart. This is the I'm finally in the contest myself. So Joseph's name is a reminder that she plans on having a bunch more kids herself. Now that's not going to happen. She'll have one more baby and she will die giving birth to that baby. It's a very sad part of the story. But we now have 11 boys and one girl. The baby contest, for all practical purposes, is pretty much over now. And the 7 years of additional service has also come to an end. And so when we get back next session, we will see how Jacob now goes to his father-in-law and says, okay, I've been here 14 years. I served you for your two daughters. I'm going home. I'm done working for you. I need to leave.